Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is Kuf Chaf Zayin. We're holding Kuf Chaf Vav Amid Beis. Six lines from the bottom of the Amid where the Gemara begins Tana Rabbanan. As you all know, in Parshiyos Shmini and Re'eh, we have a list of Shmoina Shrotzim. And the first, they divide up into two psukim. The first of the two psukim, and now reading from Shmini, if you have the Torah or Hashalem, it's Oiz Gimel here on the Amid Beis, Kuf Chaf Vav Amid Beis. V'zelechem ha-tomei ba-sheretz ha-shoyretz al ha-oretz, ha-choyled vo-achbor v'ha-tzov limineu. Although we don't know for sure what the definition is of these three terms, but generally the Mefarshim think that choled is related to the word chulda, chulda presumably being the female form of choled, which is commonly translated as a weasel. Achbar is normally translated as a mouse, and tzov has a number of translations, but typically it's thought of as being a toad, toad being very similar but different than a frog. Now, when it says achbar, which is a mouse, the Gemara tells us that there is a sea mouse as well, not only the normal mouse that we are used to, not only a mouse that you have on your computer, but also something known as Achbar Shebayam, a mouse that swims in the rivers and in the seas. Zoktimor Tan Rabbanan. Mitoch Shenema, since it says in the Pasuk Achbar, that is one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, Shemei Ani Afilo Achbar Shebayam, Sheshmoy Achbar. The mouse that swims in the sea is also known as Achbar. So therefore, perhaps the Shmoyne Shrotzim include both. Both the Achbar Shebayabosha that we're familiar with and the Achbar Shebayam. Says Imar, let's try to figure it out logically whether or not the Achbar Shebayam is included. Bidinu, Timei b'chulda b'timei b'achbar. The Torah says that both the chulda, meaning the choled, which is the word right before Achbar, as well as the Achbar, both of them are tmeim in the sense that they are shrotzim, that if and when these shrotzim die, expire, they have a timeth tuma shrotzim. So ma chulda min hagodl al ha'aretz, just like the chulda, we're referring specifically and uniquely only to the chulda which is on the aretz, and the reason for that is because the Gemara says on the Amid Aleph, and Rashi already brings it here, because there is no chulda shabayam. Since there is no chulda shabayam, when we refer to the choled, we're only talking about the choled shebayabash. So af achbar, even though the achbar does include both the regular achbar, but it also includes the achbar shebayam, maybe there too af achbar min hagodol al ha'aretz. Just like by the choled, we're referring exclusively to the choled al ha'aretz, because there is no other. So maybe achbar, we're also referring exclusively to the achbar al ha'aretz. Or maybe the other way around. The Torah says both the choled and the achbar are shmoyne shrotzim. Is machulda kol shishmo chulda, anything and everything that has and bears the name choled or chulda, ach achbar kol shishmoy achbar, and therefore filu achbar shebiyam shishmoy achbar. In other words, maybe I should learn from a choled the other way around, that just like anything which is called a chulda or a choled is all the same mishpucha, same too, anything which is called achbar is an achbar, even the achbar shebiyam. So trying to figure out an answer based on a logic, you could read it both ways, and therefore says the Gemara Talmud, that's why we have a pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? Al ha'aretz. Now what does it say al ha'aretz in the pasuk? If you look to the again, O Skimel of Torah or Hashalim, V'zelechem atomei b'sheretz ha'sheretz al ha'aretz ha'choyded v'achbar. No, al ha'aretz sounds like only the achbar shebayabasha and not the achbar shebayam, because the achbar shebayam is not al ha'aretz. Says Yomar, that drush is also not crystal clear, because I al ha'aretz yochel al ha'aretz yitama yerdiyam lo yitama. Maybe Al-Oretz is not describing the min of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, but rather it's describing the location of where the Shmoyne Shrotzim are spreading Tumah. And maybe when does a choled, or an achbar, or a tzav, where do they spread tuma? Only when they touch someone, something, some food, al oretz, on the abasha, as opposed to liyam. So if you had one of the regular mice that are constantly running around here, al oretz, let's assume that that mouse is also able to go and swim, and unfortunately dies. Maybe it dies because it's swimming and cannot swim. But anyway, so now you have a dead sheretz floating on the water, touching people. So then, what's the din now? Maybe it does not spread tumma on the yam. It only spreads tumma al aretz. And maybe that's the definition over here, al aretz. Not to tell you the regular mouse as opposed to the sea mouse, but rather any mouse, whether it's a regular mouse or a sea mouse, just make sure that if and when it's being metame al aretz, then it spreads the tumma. But if it's spreading the tumma al yam, no tumma is spread. Maybe that's the kavana of al aretz. Talmud loimar, now on the top of kuf chav zayin. That's why it says in the pasuk hashoyreitz. It says in the pasuk. Now we're looking at pasuk 1, which is the same as pasuk 3 of the previous amid. V'zelachem hatomei basheretz hashoyreitz al aretz. Now, why was it necessary to say hashoyreitz? Rashi says it could have said v'zelachem hatomei basheretz al aretz. What's the hashoyreitz? Kol makom sheshoyreitz, any place where it is moving around. The word shoyreitz, says Rashi, means lishroitz, lirchoish, lenua. Normally we think of a sheretz as being a creeping critter. So here too, kol makom sheshoyreitz, wherever this mouse is creeping, whether it happens to be al aretz or et al yam, it is always metame when it is a dead sheretz. And therefore,
it says in Shmos, the beginning of Parsha Shmos. So the Russian sheretz is even referring to people.
The point that you're making is an excellent point. If you hold your point for one more moment, you're going to see that the Gemara is going to bring up your point. So thank you very much for paving the way to understand the next Shikul Gemara. But in the meantime, the Gemara understands the word shoyreitz to be a creeping critter type of thing. That it's shoyreitz, rochesh, noah, meaning it moves around in such a creeping manner. And therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is that you wanted to learn al aretz, to go and say it's exclusively the metame on the aretz, and it's not metame on the yam or in a river. No, the word shoyreitz means kol makom sheshoyreitz, wherever it happens to be, swimming, creeping, moving, going, because that's the definition of the word shoyreitz. Frank Timur Oyenoi, or perhaps El Hashoyreitz kol ha-mashritz yitama. She'ein mashritz lo yitama. What does that mean? Says Rashi, that the word shoyreitz doesn't necessarily mean like you just defined, a creeping critter, but it could be from the lashon of the pasuk in Parshas Shmos, Ovenei Yisrael, Paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'moed moed. The very same pasuk that Barry just quoted a moment ago. Not only did he quote, and I just quoted, but that's the Rashi going down 8-10 lines. You see the parenthesis Shmois Aleph, he brings Lashon Pru or Paru vayishritzu. So what does that mean? We're not trying to now add people to the equation, but rather we're redefining the word shoreitz. If you go and look up the Webster's Dictionary in Hebrew, then you'd find that the word shoreitz has two definitions. Shoreitz means acting like a sheretz, a creeping critter. Or also the word shoreitz can mean expanding and multiplying. That's by paru vayishitzu vayirbo vayatzmu, that they multiplied and they increased. That being the case, so what would I learn from that sheretz? Not that it's coming to tell you the location of where the sheretz was, and perhaps was mitameh, but rather, kol ha-mashritz yitameh. The only time of sheretz, perhaps, that is included within these eight are those that grow by shritza, which means, she'ein mashritz lo yitameh, oitzi achbar she'chetzi yibasa v'chetzi adama she'ein par avarava. Like we had in the Mishnah yesterday, that, and as we had from Link and Urvelt, and then Barry told us about a professor or a rabbi, Levinger, that it said in our Mishnah that there is an achbar that is created half basar, half adama. But this is not created by the mating of a male and a female mouse, but rather it's as a result of growing from the ground. The lashon of the Rashi back on the Umid Beis was Yesh min achbar she'enei par v'rova ele me'atzmei noitzer mi'adama. It just bursts out of the ground and it's created in that fashion. That being the case, it's not your normal mashritz. Mashritz has that sound of growing and multiplying as a result of the mating of a male and female. But since you have this achbar that is not, maybe that's what the word hashoyritz is coming to exclude. That is, any chutzi achbar, chutzi adama, that is not a product of reproduction of par v'rova. So therefore, I am now stuck. What does the shoyritz come to teach us? Does it come to tell you any place in the world, both yabosha and the yam, where the creeping critter is creeping? Or is the word shoyritz coming to tell you only those that are created normally through normal reproductive acts, as opposed to being created from the ground? Says Mavidinu, Time bechulda betime beachbar. Machulda koshish machulda, af achbar koshish machbar. In other words, we're doing again a logical dinhu, and we're saying that since it says choled and achbar, I'm going to learn achbar from choled, machulda koshish machulda, af achbar koshish machbar. Anything that looks like, smells like, acts like a chulda, we call a chulda, choled, a weasel. So anything which has the name achbar, and therefore avi achbar shish chetzio bas v'chetzio adama, because that's called achbar. So we should include it as part of the shmoyne shvatzim. Oy klach l'derevzu, or maybe fakert. Ma chulda par v'rova, just like chulda can only be created by normal reproductive methods of male and female, achbar par v'rova, as opposed to the one that comes out minu adama, tamaloyimar basheret. That's why I have the extra word basheret. Rashi says, I have two psukim using the term basheretz to come to include even the achbar, which is chutzi baser and chutzi adama, that is also one of the shemayne shvatz. Amalei ha'umei rabbanu l'rava. So one of the Talmid Chacham asked Rava, Eima basheretz lasui achbar shechetzi bas vechetzi adama, ha'shoyretz koshu shoyretz vafela achbar shebiyam. Says now one of the Rabbanan, I'm going to take the three psukim that we're talking about, the pasuk with the chulda and the pasuk with the sheretz and the shoyretz and the ala oretz, and I'm going to learn it starting from a different angle, and therefore I'm going to come out differently than you did, Rava. And therefore, maybe I start off, not I end off with basheretz, which we just said comes to include the achbar chutzi chutzi, but let's start off that way. Eima basheretz asuya achbar shechetzi bas vechetzi adama. That's great. Hashoyretz means kosher hu shoyretz. Vafilu achbar shebiyam, any type of shoyritz, even achbar shebiyam, because that's also, this is now the first definition of the shoyritz, any creeping critter that is rochesh, noah, shoyritz, it moves, it creeps, it goes. So even achbar shebiyam. I di mishum ala oretz, the fact that it says ala oretz, maybe ala oretz yitame, yerdi yam lo yitame, that it should only be metame if it's ala oretz, it dies, and now someone touches this dead sheretz al oretz, but if it went into the water, and it's swimming around, and it died, and it caused someone to become tameh, maybe it doesn't become tameh, because maybe it's only tameh al oretz. Omalei, so now he answered him, said now Rava to this Talmud, Omalei mi'achid shavisa liyam mokam tumah, now that you're willing, based on the word hashoretz, to include the achbar shabiyam, that being the case, Mokem tuma mali hocha mali hocha. Then it wouldn't make sense to go and say, in terms of which achbar creates tuma, it's both the achbar by yabasha and the achbar by yam. And then you're going to go to the next step and say, but only if the achbar yabasha and the achbar by yam are creating tuma on the yabasha. But if they're creating tuma in the yam, lushn nisht. In other words, it's got to be dafka al oretz. That doesn't make sense. If you're including the achbar shebiyam, where is the natural habitat of the achbar shebiyam? On the yam. And now you're going to tell me, no, achbarim are only metami al oretz, not in the yam. Does that make sense? Mali hocha, mali hocha. Once we've branded the achbar shebiyam as a bona fide achbar, family member, for purpose of Shmoinis Ratzim, and then you're going to go and say, no, yeah, but it's only going to be Matami if it's on the Yabashim. If it's in the Yam, not. That doesn't seem to make sense. Good. Zokti Yamara, Bahai Ala Oret. Mi Boyle, Lahoitzi Safik Tuma, Tzafa. I need the Ala Oret for a totally different drash. What is that different drash? What happens if I have a Safik Tuma, Tzafa? Meaning, based on what we just said now, the Yam, in fact, is a Mokoim where a Sheretz can be Matama. We don't learn the Ala Oret to say only Ala Oretz, but Kol Mokim Shesheretz, even on the Yam. So what happens if, in fact, I am swimming, and I see there in the swimming pool, or I see there in the river, or in the ocean, I see that there is an Achbar Shebayam, or an Achbar Shebayabasha, swimming around its Tzafa, and unfortunately it's dead. And I was swimming within Dalet Ames of that Sheretz, and I don't know whether by accident I may have touched it or not. It's a Safik Tumah. Rashi adds, let's assume we're talking about it's a secluded river, which is not out in the Rishus Rabim. It's a Rishus Yochid. Very, very few people even know of the existence of this river, or maybe it's a private pond or river that I have in my backyard, where there's no access to other people. So now it becomes a Safik Tumah Rishus Yochid. Safik Tumah Rishus Yochid. We learn from Saita that we say that it's Tami. So, what's the din over here? There's a drasha of Omer of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, ala oretz, lahoitzi safik tuma tzafa. That if you have such a safik tuma tzafa, I don't know if I touch it, if I didn't touch it, normally I would go and say safik tuma tshusi yoch, it is sveikoi, tome. Maybe the drasha of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is to go and tell you that sveikoi, in this case, that it's tohar. Where does he learn it? From the ala oretz. He says that when do I say that I have for sure a tumma when it's ala oretz. When it's on the yam, even if it's only a safik, it is, it's going to, no. When it is a safik, it is not metame, even though normally safik tumma shusi yachid would be metame. This ala oretz comes the hoitzi safik tumma, tafa. That being the case, how can I go and darshan, like the Gemara darshan in the bottom of the Amid Beis, that I might have thought the achba shebiyam is also included Tamaloimer. Ala Oretz comes to exclude the Achba Shebiyam. I need the Ala Oretz to tell you the din of the Safik Tuma Tzafa. Every Martarti Ala Oretz Ksibi. There are two times when it says in the Torah Ala Oretz. What are the two times? If you look at Aleph and Beis of the Torah Oretz Shalim, the first one is the Zelechem Atami HaBasheretz HaShoyretz Ala Oretz. Ala Oretz. And then I have another pasuk, a few psukim later. V'chol asheretz asheretz ala oret. Okay, so therefore two ala oret. One comes to tell you, not the achba shebiyam, and the other ala oret comes to tell you the drasha that we just had, lahoitzi sofik tuma tzafa. Now we're going to have a little bit of akadata. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk ends off, the choylet achbar v'hatzov liminehu. What is liminehu? For its species, that comes to include other things within the tzav, within the toad family. Lahavi? Yeah. It included, now most people read this aroid, however the Shita Mekubetzis reads it arvad, he has a pasach under the word, under the vav. Perhaps the reason is because aroid is normally thought of as a wild donkey, and most toads don't have within their family wild donkeys. But arvad is different than that. We're going to have the Gemara a little bit further down. Rashi already brings it now. That Arvad is a crossbreed of a Tzav, which is a toad, and a Nochosh, which is a Shlang, a snake. So that's, the Arvad is the product of those two. Just like when you have a horse and a donkey, they produce a mule. You have a Tzav and a Nochosh, it produces an Arvad. So since it's from the Tzav family, also it's Metame Tumas Sheret. V'chein ha-Nephilim. What a Nephilim? Says Rashi, Sheretz min Tzav. It's from the toad family. There's another gears in that. V'chein ha-Nephilim, but uben ha-Nephilim. But again, that's the toad family member. And finally, Salamandra. Now Salamandra, of course, conjures up in our minds a modern-day salamander. However, Chazal, when they refer to Salamandra, they talk about something which is very, very esoteric, very Kabbalistic. If you look at the Rashi right before the beginning of the wide line, salamandra, sheretz hanoitzim in or, this is a salamander, is created from a fire, me'atzi hodos, when you're using hadassim wood, like the hadassim that we use on sukkis, and it's ayidei kshofim, it doesn't grow normally, you have to have a mechashef or machshefa to go and create the salamandra, v'asoch midomoy, and if you take some of the dam of that salamandra, and you soch, you go and shmir it on you, it is such an effective suntan lotion that ein ho'or shoylet boy. After that, the person could jump into a fire, and he's totally protected from the fire as a result of the salamandra oil. The kimle Rebbe Kiva, the mina de tavu. So Rebbe Kiva had a Kabbalah that this interesting salamandra is a subset, a species of tzav. And you remember the Gemara brings it, the salamandra at the end of Masechtas Chagiga, where it says that even Rishoyim among Klal Yisrael, they're Malay Mitzvahs Karimoyim, and that they don't have to worry about the fire of Gehenna if they have shmeared with the salamandra oil. Anyway, the Gemara towards the end of the last Tikkun Chagiga. But getting back to our Gemara now, our Gemara says that these three, the Arva, the Philim, and the Salamandra, are all subsets, part of the species of Tzav. Ukshahim Rabbi Kiva, Magir LePosik Zeh, when he got to this Posik, where we say, Vatzav Liminehu, Oimer, he would always exclaim, Marabu Masecha Hashem, wow, what is Rabbi Nishlan created in this world? And he would continue on, and he would say, Yeshlecha Briyos Kedelis Bayam, Vyeshlecha Briyos Kedelis Bayabasha. Look at all the fish that grow in the sea, and look at all of the behemoths and chayes that grow on the abasha, on the land. Shevayam il moli oilis biabasha miyad meisais. If any of these fish go onto the seashore, they leave the river or the sea, guess what? They die almost instantaneously. And faket, shebiabasha, those that grow on the land. Il moli oilis liyam, if they go into the water, miyad meisais, they can also die immediately. And forget yeshlecha briyos gedelus ba'ur. You have those briyos that grow in the fire. That's our salamandra. V'yeshlecha briyos gedelus ba'avir. And then you have the normal briyos that live on in the air of the world, as opposed to the fire of the world. Sheba'ur il mali oileis le'avir. When these salamandras leave the fire and go into the regular world, miyad meisais. She'avir, if you have your regular behemur chaya, emoli yardisli, or if they go into a fire, miyad meisais. And then he would end off again, morabu masecha Hashem, wow, Rabbi Yishlam, what you have created in this world is beyond belief, beyond understanding. Tan Rabbanu, ko she'yesh b'yabasha yesh b'yam chutz min achul. This is what we started off with today's Gemara, that every creature that Hashem created has a counterpart in the yam, with the exception of the choled or the chulda, which we call a weasel. There is no sea weasel. There is a catfish, for instance, and you have the sea mouth that we spoke about, the achbash of yam, but there's no equivalent for the chulda in the yam. Om Reb Zeira, Mikro, how do I know? I even have a remez from the posik, or a makor from the posik. It says, Hazinu kol yoshvei choled. This is a posik in Tehillim, where the Novi, or David HaMelech, is calling out to all of the people that inhabit the world, and he refers to them as the Yoshvei Choled. What means Yoshvei Choled? Yoshvei Choled means the people that live on the surface of the earth, and do not live in the water, in the Yam, and therefore you see that the word Choled, which is related to the word Chulda, is the reason why David HaMelech uses this term Choled, to identify people that live on the land, which is the whole civilization of human beings, that they grow and live on the land. Om Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua. Bivrei de Narosh Einan Min HaYishuv. Narosh is the name of a place, and the people that lived in Narosh acted in a very Narosh manner. Maybe that's the reason why they're called Narosh. But anyway, Bivrei is the name of a Behema or Chaya. Rashi uses a French term. He says, second wide line, Chayos HaMetzios Bo'isamokim Bivrenish Belaz. And the art scroll defines Bivri as being beavers in English. So beavers, Denarish, Enem in a Yishuv. They don't live on dry land. Beavers live in the water. Omra Papa Mishamta Narish, Tarbe Mashche Valise. From here, for the next few lines, we're going to hear that the people that lived in Narish were a bunch of bandits. They were a bunch of ganovim and gazlanim. Yes, yes, Reb Shlomo.
I'm thinking about it. The weasel is a similar animal in the water, the otter. I think they were even in the same family.
Weasel and otter may be in the same family, but the... How did we define chulda before? Define that as weasel. Basically,
I think it usually is, but I know the otter is very similar.
Okay. Maybe it's
and a beaver also is a similar land animal called a nutria,
uh-huh,
which is very in America. And it's similar to a beaver.
A rat as opposed to a weasel.
What was that? I'm sorry. What does Scheinfeld say?
Reports that chulda is a rat as opposed to a weasel.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then a water rat. I guess not. Wait, anyway, all of these eight of the Shmoyne Shratzim, all of the Shmoyne Shratzim, it's all somewhat clouded in mystery what the real translations are. I was just sharing with you what typically people say, and I think that's what the Ars Scroll Ulta says, Chulda and Chulda are weasels, and if the weasel and the otter are related, it's probably very, very distant. Maybe they're Mechutanim, as opposed to cousins or anything like that. But anyway, whatever it is, and we continue on, says the Gemara about these beavers, and Narish are not menayishim, meaning they only grow in the water, they don't grow on the land. Umra papa bishamta Narish, the people that live in Narish, because they're a bunch of thieves, they should all be put in chayim. And the Gemara uses an expression, tarbe means the fats, mashchi means the skins, alise is the alia, are the tails. Meaning, Rashi says, mikotin vaad godoy, every one of them, they're all bandits, they all should be put into chayim. And the Gemara, in fact, continues on, Eretz, Eretz, Oretz, Shimi Dvar Hashem. This is a pasuk in Yermia, where Yermia Novi is giving Musar, and says over here, Amra Papa, sorry, Lo'ova Narish Shmoya Dvar Hashem. The reason why the word Eretz is repeated three times is because they didn't want to listen. We say Eretz, Eretz, Oretz, listen, Chevre, Shimi Dvar Hashem, listen. They didn't want to listen. That's why it had to be repeated. And the Narisha people are Narish. Omer of Yidl Omer Rav, Narshoa, Nashkech, Mani Kochech. If a person from Narish gives you a kiss, afterwards, count your teeth, because in the middle of the kiss, he may have stolen a tooth of yours. Nahar Pekudah, if you meet someone from the place Nahar Pekudah, Lov Yech, and he is escorting you from the Lashon of being Malava, he's escorting you from one place to the other. The reason why he's doing it is not because he's such a gentleman, but rather, miglima shapira dechaz olach. He sees that you're wearing a beautiful coat or a beautiful outfit, and he's waiting for you to close your eyes, and he's going to go and steal it from you. That's the reason why he's escorting you. Pumbadisa lovyech, if you are being escorted by someone from Pumbadisa, ashmi ushpizech, you should immediately go and change the place where you sleep. In other words, if, for instance, you are a traveler, you're a tourist, and you originally went and set up at the Hilton, and this person from Pumbadisa saw you traveling to the Hilton, go and cancel your reservation, immediately go to another hotel down the block, because Chas V'Shalom is going to come and steal from you. Om Ravuna Bar Turta, Pam Achas Halachti Levad. One time I went to the place called Va'ad, and as we'll see, Rashi says, the place in Va'ad, all of the people there were Rishoyim, and among the Rishis that they did, they were all Mizavke Kilayim. They were all ignoring the halachas of the Torah of Behemtecho Le'sarbiya Kilayim. They constantly were cross-breeding different animals. Says the Gemara, V'r'isi nochashu koruch al hatzov. I saw there in Va'ad that there was a nochash that was wound around a tzov, tzov being the toad. And recall that Rashi said before that the arvad is the product of the mating of a tzov and a nochash. So therefore, guess what happens? Says now, Rafuna bar torta, liyomim, after a while, yotze arvad mi b'neim. After this mating of the nochash and the tzov, a few days later, a week or two later, I saw that there was a mazel tov in shul, a big, big sign, that the arvad was born to the nochash and the tzav mating. Ukeshabasa lefnei Reb Shimon Hachosid, when I came in front of Reb Shimon Hachosid, Omalini said to me, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim heviu beria shaloi barasi be'olami. They went and created a bad barrier that I didn't create, afani avi aleim beria shaloi barasi be'olami. What does that mean? That means that they were mezavik the kilayim, and so they were constantly, let's say, producing mules, for instance, from the mating of the horse together with the donkey. So therefore, I'm bringing upon them the arvad, which is a very dangerous being. That's the crossbreed here between the tzav and the nachash. That wasn't my intention, but I specially allowed this nachash and this tzav to mate so that they should create the dangerous arvad to go and punish them. Mida keneged mida. The Gemara finds this whole Gemara very startling. Didn't we learn? Kosha tashmishan viburan shava yolden umegadlan zem izeh. V'kosha ein tashmishan viburan shava ein yolden umegadlan zem izeh. What does that mean? Kosha tashmishan, if the way the male and the female mate is the same way, what does that mean? So Rashi says that there are certain animals which are just like human beings, that they mate panim el panim, face to face. But there are other animals that do it panim kineged oirif, front to back. So therefore there are different types. So kol tashmish and shava, if the mating of these species is the same, then they can go and produce kids. If iburan is the same, iburan means the number of months of gestation. So if you're talking about breeding two animals that have the same gestation period of 5 months, or 6 months, or 9 months, then you could have a successful Vlad coming out. However, if one happens to be a 5-monther and the other is a 9-monther, and you breed them together, they will not produce a child. And therefore, says the Gemara, "V'chol she'ein tashmish and viburin shava," if the way they live and mate is not the same way, or if the months of gestation is not the same, "ein yolden," they cannot give a vlad. Umegadlan, the word megadlan, says Rashi, means to also bring up the child in the form of the mommy nursing the child. So what's the problem? The problem over here is that the salamandra, the Gemara says in Chagiga, only has a child once every 7 years. In other words, its gestation period is not 5 months, 6 months, 9 months, not even a year, 7 years. Now you're saying, 7 years? What are you talking about? Remember Rashi said before that the salamandra is created al yidei kishuf, through sorcery. So therefore you can't ask any kashas. That being the case, how can you possibly have, says the Gemara, that the arvad over here was a product of the the nachash. Nachash has a 7-year gestation period, so the nachash is 7 years. And the tzav is 6 months, says Rashi. So 6-monther with a 7 years, they couldn't possibly produce offspring. So how did the arvad come out from the combination of the tzav and the nachash? Amaram nes betoich nes. It's a miracle. Freitimar, normally we say miracle, that has a positive connotation. Kodesh Baruch Hu made miracles. This is perunusuhu. This is a nes. This is perunus. This is a punishment. Because Hashem created this arvad from the nachash and the tzav to be able to punish the people in Va'ad. And for the more, my nes p'tech nes, liparonis. That's in fact what I meant. I didn't mean nes p'tech nes, a positive nes. I meant a negative nes of a nes p'tech nes, liparonis, that it created, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, this punishment for the Bnei Vad because of the fact that they were cross breeding.
It's like the story with Elisha, no dubi, no yar. There was no bear, no forest. It was a nes p'tech nes. But also for piranis.
Okay, beautiful. Shkoyach.
The tzav is eternal, usually.
Music. So,
they
produce with eggs. Tzav, you are correct. Today in Eretz Yisrael, they define tzav as a turtle. Is that right?
Yes.
However, generally, Mefarshim say, as part of Shemini Shuratzim, that tzav is a toad. But I checked it out on the AI, and they have 4 separate definitions for the tzav. It starts off with that the general biblical scholars and commentators say that a tzav is a toad, and then they have 2 other definitions, I don't recall, and then they say number 4, that the tzav in modern day Hebrew refers to as a turtle. Okay, so you have 1 word that's used for number of different things. And we start off the new mission. Dr. Mishnah Yetz. For Eivir v'abosar ha-middul-dolin ba-behema. That's what we call the Bosar ha-middul-dol, or Eivir ha-middul-dol. Hamaduldul means that the vast majority of that limb or of that piece of flesh of the animal has been detached, presumably through some sort of accident, or maybe there was a chayra that came and took a bite, and so therefore you have now an aver or basar which is hanging. Rashi says it's only hanging b'mitzas. It's still attached. Formally it's attached, but if you gave it one good yank, presumably it would come off. So it is connected, but in a very loose connection form to the original animal. Because of that, that it is connected, and it's not connected, it's a hybrid situation for Hilchos Eivim Min HaChai, as well as for Nevela, as well as when we talk about Eivim Min HaChai, that has two connotations. Number one, the Isser Achila, that nobody's allowed, even Eivim Min HaChai, even a goy, as well as that Eivim Min HaChai is also Metame. We're going to learn all about that in our Mishnah and in the Gemara as we go through. So, Eivra HaBasa Medoldol BeBehema, they're hanging there from the Behema, and the Behema is still walking down the street with his Eivra and Basar hanging. Metamin Tumas Oichlin Bim Koyman. That Eivra and Basar could have the status of Tumas Oichlin. Now, notice it does not say that it has the status of Tumas Nevela, even though you and I might look upon it as being dead flesh, because apparently it's not growing back. And we're going to talk about in the Gemara whether it's mala arucha or ena mala arucha, which means can it be healed or can it not be healed. We'll see about that shortly. But at least in its present status, although it's connected to the animal, however, it is in a very poor situation. So the Gemara says it has the status of an ochel for purpose of tumas ochlin. What means it has the status of an ochel? What happens if a dead sheretz, like the type that we were speaking about until now, the choled, the achbar, the tzov, what happens if they died and they touched this aver or this basar? It would be susceptible to tumah. It would, in other words, it doesn't have its own inherent tumah because it's not at the moment nevela or aver menachai, but it could be the recipient of tumah from an outside source. Bimkoyma means as long as they're still attached, or even though they're still attached to the Levidika animal, they can have a status of Tumas Eichlin, which is a tremendous chiddush, because a live animal normally cannot become susceptible or the recipient of Tumah. Here, the live animal, the whole animal, in fact, it does not become Tumah. But if a dead sheretz touches that aver or that basar hamedoldol, it does become tummy. Now, one of the requirements for a food item to become tummy, it has to have a hechsher lekabel tumah. Utrichen hechsher. In fact, what you're going to have to do is make sure that one of the seven mashkois goes on that aver or the basa medulgul, and then it will be mochsher lekabel tumah, and then it could become tummy tumas eifer.
Continue. Only the medulgul becomes tummy, or the whole body?
The only the meduldul part. Now the rest of the animal still remains totally tahar. As we'll see, we're going to develop all of these things. What you may even be suggesting by your question is, would we say that the rest of the behema is a yad for purposes of the aver hameduldul or the basar meduldul? What means that it would become a yad? What happened? We have in the Gemara already before, a machloikas Rabban Rabbi Yochanan, what happens if mashke fell on a yad of an ochel, but didn't fall on the ochel itself. Just like we said that a yad can be a conductor of tumah, either be motzi or machnis, can also be a conductor of hechsher, so that if water spilled on the yad, would that be machsher, the meat which is attached to the yad? So here, it's kind of a reverse situation. What's the reverse situation? The big behemoth, which is 500 pounds, and this little Eivra Meduldal, which is all of 2 pounds, since the Eivra Meduldal could require Hechsher LeKabel Tumah, what happens if water didn't fall on the Eivra, but it fell on the animal? Would you say that the animal is like the Yad for purposes of that Eivra, and therefore it's Machsher, not Machsher, the animal itself, because the animal itself cannot become, it's not susceptible to Tumah as long as it's alive. But however, could it act as a Yad for Hechsher purposes, for the Eivor or the Basar Hamadudu? That's going to be the Gemara on the bottom, which Mitzvah we're going to learn tomorrow. But getting back to our Mishnah now on the top of the Amid, until now we were talking about...
One quick question. Is this general principle that a yad cannot become tameh?
The yad that we're referring to, we're not talking about a real yad of a behemoth. What we're talking about is a halachic yad.
Of an instrument that you make it tameh.
The bone on the polka is the meat of the polka becomes tameh. Our example earlier this week, but does the bone become tameh?
The bone does not become tameh because the bone is only an inanimate object. It's like a piece of wood. Under normal senses, under normal circumstances, let's start again. Tuma can only the only categories of things and people that become tameh, individuals, people can become tameh. You can have oichlin or mashkin become tamei, and you can have kalim become tamei. But there's no a piece of wood, for instance, cannot become tamei. Even golmei kalim, unfinished kalim, they're considered to be just like eitzva evan. They cannot be mekabel tamei. The pulka that you're talking about, thank you, Barry, for reminding us. So the bone that's holding up the meat on the top of it, that bone itself could have the status of a yad. But it itself cannot be makabel tuma. It can only be a conductor of tuma, to be motzi and machnes tuma to or from the meat which is on top of that bone. Anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah now. So nishkata behemah. Until now, the behemah was alive and walking around. Now we shechted the behemah. Hukshiru b'dumeha. That aver hamedulul or that basar hamedulul now becomes mukshir as a result of the shechita of the animal. Even if the blood didn't reach that Evra Meduldum, the blood of the Shechita only reached the rest of the animal. Normally I would go and say, if this was not an Evra Meduldum, it was part and parcel of the animal, you don't need blood over every single square inch of the whole behemah. As long as there's any mashke on any part of the behemah, in this case the mashke would be the dam, that's enough to be machshir the entire behemah. But since this Eva Meduldul and this Basar Meduldul are on their last leg, so to speak, almost ready to fall off, then I wouldn't know that they're machshir l'kabel tuma. Says our Mishnah, yo, nishkata behemah huchshir b'damel, even though the dam didn't touch that Eva or the Basar, nevertheless, they have the benefit of the hechshir of the dam spurting out on the behemah. Not because it's a yad, but because it's deemed to be one animal like usual. That's the Rameh. Reb Shimon, oh, you may loy hokshir. Reb Shimon said, no, it is not mukshir l'kabel tuma. Says Rashi, being more mefarish, we'll see what the machloikis is between Rameh and Reb Shimon. Now this is if the behemah was geshachted. What happens, mesa behemah, the behemah died. Habasa tzorech hechshir. So then, you would need a hechshir on that basar, in other words, so that it'd be mekabel tumas oichlin, and not only on the entire, well, the entire animal wouldn't need a hechsher because the animal itself is a nevela. Nevela is inherently tameh, it's not just metame tumas oichlin, it's matame, much, much higher degree of tumah. Tumas oichlin, as you know, can only be a rishon tumah, and that oichel can only create a sheni tumah. That's where it ends by chulin. Mashenkin, if you're talking about a nevela itself is an av hatuma. An av hatuma can go metame odem bekelim. That's why we have to avoid touching nevelois, because we become tame. However, something which is tame, tumas oichlin, if I touch it, nothing happens to me, because the oichlin come metame other oichlin o mashkin. Does anybody have a question? I hear some questions in the background. Everything okay? Okay, so meza behema then habasar. Basar means that basar hamilduldul. Since we don't have the benefit of the dam of the shechita, there was no shechita, it was mesa. So just like we said in the Amud Aleph, for it to become tumas oichlin, it needs a hechsher. No mesa behema, basa tzorech hechsher, you need a hechsher. However, eiver metame mishum eiver menachai, veinu metame mishum eiver nevela, divir Rameir, Reb Shimon Mitai, says now Rameir, as a result of the animal dying, we do not look upon the aver as if it died at the same time as the animal died. But Rashi reminds us of a Gemara that we had earlier in the Masechta, the Misa Oise Nipoil. The word Nipoil comes from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, Ki Yipoil HaNevelor, Ki Yipoil Nevlosa, Gemara uses the term nefila yipoil. So Gemara adapts that and says misa oisa nipple. Now what means misa oisa nipple? That when an animal dies, it's as if the aver fell off, but not that it fell off concurrently with the misas habehema, but already prior to that, already a minute before, 5 minutes before, it's considered to have been poresh min hachayim, as if it already at that time was severed from the, at that time, live animal, and so therefore it becomes transformed to an eiver min hachay. An eiver min hachay is mitame. How do I know eiver min hachay is mitame? The Gemara is going to bring psukim tomorrow and later on in the perek. Anyway, so therefore, the Eivr is metame mishum Eivr menachai, but it's not metame mishum Eivr nevela, because it never died. It came off of the animal, it didn't physically come off, but halachically it came off before the animal died, so it never became a nevela. And therefore it's Eivr menachai, not Eivr nevela. So what's the difference between...
Is Eivr menachai also a avatuma?
Yes, it's also avatuma, yes.
So what's the difference if it's an available?
You took the words out of my mouth. The question is, what's the difference between Eivr menachai and Eivr nevela, since both of them are mitame? So Rashi already asked this kasha, and Rashi says, Boisai, have a little bit of gedult, a little patience. Because Gemara Mefarish, you see the Rashi is right before where it says Gemara. Gemara Mefarish might ikabein Eivr menachai, Eivr nevela. They're both metame. So what's the difference? Gemara is going to discuss that further in Yetz Hashem.
Divrei Meir. Do we say Misa also Nipol? Do we say it's Gedito Vyado Boel Keatat, or it's a minute before?
A minute before. Look at the Rashi.
So a minute before.
Even a minute and a half. If you look at the Rashi, the Rashi begins on the fourth line from the top. Mesa behema habosar shenidaldel tzorech hechsher lekabel tumah min hasheretz. It requires hechsher from one of the seven mashkois to mekabel tumah. Im loy hechsher mishenidaldel. If it didn't have previously a hechsher, because maybe there was water that fell on it previously, but if there wasn't, then you need hechsher now. The tumas nevela ain boy. It's not a nevela, even though the animal died. So why don't you say that this aver died with it? Oh, kidabam rebehima makasha. Tamisa oisa nipple. Now, what does that mean? To address Brother Shai's question, the einoi kimis nabel ima b'misasa. It doesn't mean that it happened simultaneously. Ela kaporish mechayim. It's as if it was already nifrish a minute ago, 2 minutes ago, when the animal was still alive. Ubasa porish menachai is tar, as opposed to eva menachai, which is metame. Basa menachai is not metame. Why? All based on psukim, as we'll see mentioned in the Gemara tomorrow in a Gittishu. So anyway, just getting back to our Mishnah. So as far as the basar is concerned, it's not nevela, so it's not mitame as nevela or as nevela menachai or as basar menachai. None of those are mitame, but it could be, it could receive tuma al tumas oichlin. Oh, to receive tuma, then you have to be machshirit. But you don't need for the eva menachai, because the eva menachai is itself mitame, just like nevela is mitame. You don't have to be machshir, a dead animal. It's a source of tumah, not a recipient. It's a nevela. Same thing, eiver menachai is also a source of tumah, so it does not require a hechsher. Reb Shimon Metayer, what's the svar? Reb Shimon, again, Rashi says, being Gemara Mefarish. Jacques de Gemara. We started off the Mishnah that you had this eiver and you had the basar hamedulgal that has, it can be a recipient of tumah. Tumas ochlin in tumas nevela loy. It's considered to be an ochel. That's why it's mekabel tumas oichlin. A live behema is not an ochel. And therefore, if dead chariots touches it, it touches an nevela, it does not become tameh. It doesn't even get a din of tumas oichlin. Even if you poured water on the behema and then you touched it with 100 nevelois and dead shiratzim, nothing happened. So, but in this case, the Eivra Medulgal and the Basa Medulgal, tumas oichlin, in, they can receive tumah. But tumas nevela loy, but they don't have their own tumas nevela. In other words, you don't consider it to be dead meat. So says Gemara, that seems to be contradictory in terms. If it's alive, live meat, in other words, part of this live animal, then it shouldn't have tumas oichlin. Ever mind, you're saying it's dead meat, then it should have tumas nevela. So hechidami. Ida malan arucha means if it can heal. In other words, the doctor says, yes, the aver and the basar are now medulgal, but we're going to put a splint on and we're going to put an ace bandage on, and you'll see in no time this animal will be back to normal. So Tumas Oichlin, Nami Loigatami, it shouldn't have Tumas Oichlin because it's a live animal and it shouldn't be considered to be dead meat or considered to be an ochel. The Ida'ein Malin Arucha, if the doctor said, sorry, you know, just beyond hope, beyond remedy, then Tumas Nevela Nami Loigatami. Why don't we call it a Nevela? Make up your minds. Everything the Oilam, the Ein Malin Arucha. The truth of the matter is, the doctors have given up. All the veterinarians say, we tried all the medications, it cannot be saved. So why doesn't have the din of Tumas Nevela? Vishani Tumas Nevela Rachman Omar, ki Yipol Achiyipol. That was the Yipol that we referred to before, that Rashi says, Misa Isa Nipol, and then it becomes as if it fell off prior to the time of the actual Shechita. So here the Gemara is saying the same thing, that it only becomes an Nevela when it actually physically falls off. So as long as it's still attached, even though it's attached, Abisala, nevertheless, it is not considered to be an Nevela. So we have over here something which is like a Bein HaShemoshes. It's not day, it's not night. It's neither Nevela, it's not considered to be dead meat, because it didn't fall off. But on the other hand, it's not considered to be a live animal. And that's why it can be Mitameh Tumas Oichlin. In other words, it can receive Tumah from an outside source, but it doesn't have its own inherent Tumah, neither as an Eiver Min HaChai, nor as an Eiver Min HaNevela, or a Basam Min HaNevela. Now, over the next few lines, we're going to talk about further Nevela, 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 but Rashi already at this point, and Tosi says crystal clearly, we're not really referring to Nevela, we're really referring to Eiver Min HaChai. If you look at the Rashi right at the beginning of Gemara, Tumas Nevelis Loi, to Loi have a Kitlushin Legamri. You don't look upon this Eiver Medulla as if it totally fell off. Till the Tameho Eiver Kishar Eiver Min HaChai. Don't consider this to be Eiver Min HaChai. Don't look upon it as being Eiver Min HaChai. Even though our Gemara talks about Tumas Nevelis, it doesn't talk about Eiver Min HaChai. So if you look at the second Toisis, which is parallel to the beginning of the Gemara, Tumas Nevela Shemazkir Kanashas, that Tumas Nevela that we're going to talk about it for another 10, 15 lines, Lav Davka, Elahainu Tumas Eivim Menachai, is really just borrowing the wrong term, if you will, because it's really not Nevela, it's really Eivim Menachai. The important thing is, Tumas Oichlin Yesh Lehen, you can be Metamet Tumas Oichlin by pouring water on it and touching it with a dead sheretz, but it does not have a din of Tumas Nevela, nor the din of Tumas Eiver Min HaChai, as long as it's still attached to the animal. Why? L'chayra, it doesn't make sense. That's why the Gemara says, the truth of the matter is, Ein Malan Rucha, so therefore I should deem it to be like an Eiver Min HaChai, as if it's already severed, because it cannot heal. But nevertheless, it doesn't have the din of Tumas Eiver Min HaChai until Atchi'ipoil, until it falls off. Ma'urin means they're still attached, like with, it says bichutasara, it could be like kichutasara, just like with a thread, mamisha garnished. Yochel yitame tumas nevela, again, tame tumas eiver menachai, as if it's totally severed, tamaloyim yipol ad she yipol. But nevertheless, even though it doesn't have a Tumas Eiver Min HaChai, it's not a Tumas Nevela, but Tumas Oichlin Metame, it can receive Tumah from an outside source, as long as you're Machshir it Lekabel Tumah. And now the Gemara does a little bit of a stretch, so to speak. And what the Gemara says is, I find this twilight type of situation with Sinishta Hina Nishta Her, it's neither dead meat nor totally live meat. I find this similarly by fruits and by vegetables. Te'enim are figs. That word tzoymik means that they shriveled up, dried up iveim in their natural habitat on the tree. The te'enim apparently are in some sort of enclosure, like a peas in a pod. These would be figs in some sort of pod or whatever it is. They are tzamku, they already dried out. Metametumas oichlin, they're no longer getting any more growth from this tree. I look at the te'enim, I say, they're not going to grow. They've been dry for the last week and they are shriveled up. So therefore, the metam metumas oichlin, once again, you'd have to go and spritz them with water. So you would say, oh, so this is, in a sense, a dead fig. In other words, it's not going to grow. Yet, hatoilish mehen b'shabes, chayiv chatas. If you were to rip this off on Shabbos, you're chayiv chatas because of the malach of kotzer. What? One of the lama test malachas. I don't understand. Didn't you just tell me that it's like Oakland? Any taina which would be nice and moist and fresh growing from the tree, like all other Oakland and Mashkin growing from a tree or growing from the floor, whatever, and vegetables, and anything that's really growing, if you touch it with a dead sheretz or with a nevela, nothing happens. Zero. Gunished. Because something which is mechubel lekarka, mechubel to the Elon, they are not an ochel for purposes of Tumas Eichlin. Yet, these Tainim Shetzamku, we deem them as if they're already tolush, and therefore they can be kabbalzan Tumas Eichlin. But nevertheless, for purposes of Hilchus Shabbos, they have a din of mechubel. So you can have a very interesting hybrid situation, a Tainu which is half tolush, half mechuber, legabi Shabbos, it's mechuber chayiv chatzos, legabi hilchus tuma, it's considered to be tolish, and it's mekabel tuma. And so therefore the Gemara, that's why it's showing it to our case of the Abraham Meduldal, this Eva which is also dried out in the sense that it's also not mala arucha, it can no longer heal, it's dead, but nevertheless, it does not have the status of Abraham Menachai. It does not have the status of Nevela, but it has the status of Ochel, as if it was tolish, that it can be makabel tumas eichlin. Let's bring yet another raya. Now, not from te'enim, from figs, which from fruit. Now we're going to talk about yirokos. Lei mesayla yirokos, vegetables, shetzamku b'ivein, which also dried up in their pods. Kigoin hakruv, which is cabbage, v'adalas, a gourd, I believe. Yeah, gourds. Anyway, ein metamen tumas eichlin. What's the status? Since they have dried up, they're not metame tumas oichlin. This is different than what we said before. We said it's enim shetzamku are metame tumas oichlin because they're not growing anymore. Kruv in the last ain metame tumas oichlin. We're going to bring a raya momentarily. The Gemara is going to say it's only by kruv in the last and not metame tumas oichlin. But any other yerokos that dried up would be metame tumas oichlin. And you're wondering, why is Kruvin the last different than any other Yerokos? So we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, because when you have a dried up cabbage or dried up gourd, it's essentially like a piece of wood. It no longer has a din of Tumas Oichlin. You cannot eat them. If you try to cut them and chew them, you're going to have to go to the dentist because of broken teeth, etc. So they don't have a din of Oichlin B'chlal. But other Yerokos, which are dried up Ivein, they would have a din of Tumas Eichlin, just like we said by the Te'enim Chitzamku. So that's the Rai, the Lim Mesayle, as we'll see in a moment. Continuing the same Braisa, what happens if Kotzitzon, the Yavshan, he went and cut them, and Yavshan, and they dried out, Metam and Tumas Eichlin. Freit Timara, I don't understand. Kotzitzon, the Yavshan, so Kedaitach, Eitz Ba'almahu. If you've allowed the Kruvin, the Las, you cut it, you let it to go and dry out there in the field, in the sun. Guess what happened? It's a piece of wood. So how can you say it's Metame Tumas Eichlin? From Rabbi Yitzchak, you have to make a slight emendation where it says, Kotzon Yashan means Kotzon Almanas Liyabshan. What does it mean, Kotzon Almanas Liyabshan? Says Rashi, you cut the kruv and glass from wherever you cut them from the ground. However, you didn't intend eating it right now as cabbage and putting it into your coleslaw or your cabbage salad or whatever. You didn't intend eating this gourd, but you cut it for the purpose of being miyabish it, for letting it dry out, so that it would eventually become eitz. But at the moment, it is not eitz yet. At the moment, it's still moist and it's still edible. So even though your kavana was to go and be miyabish it, okay, in a week from now, in a month from now, when it's totally dried out, it'll be taka hard as a rock, or at least hard as a piece of wood, then it will not be mekabel tuma, because it's not an ochel. But now, when it's still moist, it's metam and tumas eichlin. So that's the pshat in the brayis, the kotzim yavshim, metam and tumas eichlin, as long as it's still moist. But let's go.
What about the case of a gourd, where you might want to dry out the seeds?
Right.
Inside.
Mm-hmm. And therefore,
obviously the other part wouldn't be good, but the seeds might still be good, still good right now.
That could be. So we are referring to that part of the gourd, which, when you dry it out, becomes as hard as a rock or as hard as an eighth. That part.
Not just the fruit, not the seeds.
Exactly. Izuk Yimara. Now so that's the end of the Braisa, and now we're meeting with Daik from the Reisha. Taima de Kruvit de Lasu. In the beginning of the Braisa, we said, Yerokish Etzamku, Bivank, Goin, Kruvit de Las. Ein Metamet Tumas Eichlin. Only Kruvit de Las. Kivin de Yavshan Labane Echilinino. As it's well known, I guess it's well known, that cabbage and gourds, once they're totally dried out, it's impossible to eat. But Hashar Peirois, or Shar Yerokois, Metami. They would be Metame. Oh, so this would be a raya to what Shmuel said. The Rav Chiya bar Ashi Yom Shmuel. Tzeinim Shetam Kabi Vayan. Metame Stumas Oichlin. Oh, I have a Befeirish of Raisa. That only Kruv and the last are not Metame Tumas Oichlin, but any other type of Yerokois or Peirois are Metame Tumas Oichlin. Lema Messiah, let's bring a raya. Zokti Yomara, Hosha Peirish Metame. Zokti Yomara, Hechidam. In the Yavshan, Hein V'Uktzeyen, if you're going to go and tell me that they're totally dried out, and the ukza means even the stem, right? By an estrig, the bottom of it is called the ukitz, that's the stem. The mshita, then of course, it has, if it's not an ochel, then, well, let's see. If it's totally dried out, both hein v'ktzeyen, then, says Rashi, even the gabi shabbos, it would be tolish, because even the stem is no longer moist, and therefore, it's garnish, pshita, and then, of course, that it would be metame, tumas oichlin, if it's ro'oi la'achila, because there's no shaila anymore. Rashi says, even if it's still attached to the tree, but if the ukitz is dried out, you see Rashi on the first wide line, idiyof shohen v'ktzein, aflin yisham is solution hein. We wouldn't say that it's mechuber, because, you know, give a blow and the thing is going to fall off. It's like a dry leaf that's come an autumn wind and it's just going to go and blow away. So here too, idiyof shohen v'ktzein, pshitin, of course it has a status of an ochel, I don't need the braisa. Elav, below yuktzein. It's probably talking about that only the fruit or only the vegetable was dried. However, not the ukitz. So technically it was still attached to the tree or to the ground. And therefore the gabi hilchah Shabbos it would be mechuber and a tolesh would be chayev. But nevertheless, it's still metami tumas ochlin. Because the only one which is not metami tumas ochlin, that was the case of the telas and the kruv. But otherwise it is. So l'choy to have a raya too, Shmuel. The truth of the matter is that we could be talking about hein the yuktzeyan, that everything is dried out. So even the gabi Shabbos, no shayla, you would even be potter from koter on Shabbos. So what is the chiddush then of this braisa? The chiddush is on the sefer part of the braisa. The sefer that we just said a moment ago, the kotzon on v'yavshon, which means kotzon on al menas liyavshon, since his whole idea of cutting the kruva the last from the ground was for the purposes of making it into as hard as an eighth, not to eat it, but to miyabish it. So therefore, under those circumstances, I would say that even if it's still moist now, since his whole intention is to dry it out, it should be considered ready now, no longer an ochel, but rather a piece of eight, kamashulon, as long as it's still moist, and as long as it's still edible, even though the reason why you cut it was for the purposes of drying it out like a piece of wood. Nevertheless, it is the status of an ochel, and it's mekamit to mezuchel. But they have nothing to do with the Reisha, and therefore you have no raya to Shmuel's halach. One final braisa. Toshima ilan shenifshech uboy peiros. Hari hen kitlushin. What does this mean? You have a tree, and then someone cut a branch off of this tree. And attached to the branch were a whole bunch of peiros. What is the braisa there in conclusion? Even though the peiros are still nicely attached to the branch, so I might think, oh, it's mechuber, not, it's all tolish, even though the peiros themselves physically are attached to the branch, but they're not attached to the tree. The branch was cut off of the tree. So they have a din of tolish. Hari, in conclusion, yavshu, what happens if instead of their coming off the tree, but rather it was not nifshach, these peiros are still attached to the tree, but they are already dried out. What is it then? Yavshu harein ki mechubarim. Oh, so that is similar to what Shmuel said before, that even though the te'enim shetzom could be veyen, metame tumas oichlin, batoilish mehen is chayv chatzis, because they are mechubar. Yavshu ki mechubarim. So says Yimar, my la matlushin l'chol divrein, Why don't you go and say, just like the Hari Henke Tlushin at the beginning of the Brayse, the Ilan Shenifshach, they're totally Tlushin. That means for all purposes. What means for all purposes? Number one, that they would be Makabel Tumas Oichlin, because they're like Tolish, like any other food items, called Zera Zerua Asher Yizareya Tomehud, that if you have Mukshir Lekabel Tumah, it's Makabel Tumah. If it's Mukshir, it's Makabel Tumah. So they say the same thing, it's also Tlushin Lechol Devrayim, meaning that there's no longer a din of Shabbos because of the fact that the whole branch was taken off the tree. So say the same thing. Af mechubarim lechol devrayim, the second half of the brayse, which is yavshu herin ki mechubarim. One which says mechubal lechol devrayim, not only the gabi hilchos Shabbos, but also the gabi hilchos tumas oichlin, and therefore this would be a kasha on Shmuel because Shmuel said einim shetzam could be ibeim, they are metamet tumas oichlin, but in that respect they're tolish. But the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, they consider the Mechubar. So just like we said by the Ilan Shenifshach, the Reisha is Tlushin L'chol Divrayim. So why don't you say here, Yavshu there, Mechubar L'chol Divrayim. And the Chubar L'chol Divrayim, not only would there be a din of Isser Shabbos, but it also would not be an Olcha for purposes of Tumas Oichlin, Kasha on Shmuel, Evdimah, Midi area, no, Nishkarai, Hakad Isa, Hakad Isa. When it says in the Reisha, Arikit Tlushin, the Taka Tlushin L'chol Divrayim, absolutely. The reason is because it's no longer attached to the Ilan. It's attached to a branch which was cut off from the Ilan. So, Avadat Tol Shechol Levrei. But Gabi Yavshu, when we say Ki Mechubarim, it's Mechubarim for purposes of Hilchas Shabbos, but not necessarily for purposes of Hilchas Tumas Oichlin. So therefore, it could be that Shmuel is right after all, that you could have a food item that for certain purposes of Gabi Shabbos, it's Mechubar, and for purposes of Tumas Oichlin, it's considered to be Tolosh. We'll stop over here, Rabbi.